Welcome to another edition of The Catalyst Effect. I am your host, Natasha Waddell. And of course, you know, we're bringing you another insightful conversation, something that we definitely need, not just in Guyana, but in the region. I have the pleasure of having Mr. Yellow with me today. Listen, we're about to have a bright conversation.
Very true.
But before we get into this conversation, I just want to say thank you to the people who made this possible: Affordable Imports Trinidad, the Rehab Center, Express Business Solutions, and Alpha Media Creations. Thank you for believing in us and helping us to create impact through the content that we're sharing, because guess what? We never know who has the message that you need to hear. I have the pleasure of introducing Mr. Jared Bess Mitchell. Emphasis on Bess. You're going to understand why. As we get into the conversation, Mr. Bess is the guy who made me realize how I was underrating LinkedIn. He also challenged me to have 600 pieces of content. We in March, and I ain't do it yet. But we're going to get there. He is very influential with his content. He grabs your attention, and he's also very open to sharing, because he's going to tell you why he is so open to sharing. So Jared, welcome to The Catalyst Effect, and thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. So let me share that one time. I am open to sharing because what we have learned in life is Googleable, but what people need from us is context. So you use the Googleable information and they put it out there, that brings people in to get the context. And if you're able to explain the context, you get the business. Too many people are charging for Googleable info.
See, we already started on a high. All right, so let's take it back a little bit. Yellow.
Yes.
Now, I know it is not your brand.
No.
It is just the color that you like. I've been following
Like is the wrong word.
So it's obsessed with?
I want yellow to put a restraining order on me.
Okay.
Like, I love it that much.
Okay. Stalker then.
Yes.
Okay.
It's an obsession.
It's an obsession with yellow.
Yes.
Started since you were a child.
5 years old.
Yes. Tell us.
So when I went into primary school, Rosie Boys RFC, they put me in yellow house, which was Savio, and I said that was my favorite color. And I've always had that as my color. But again, when you're working and stuff, I would wear work clothes. I love colors in general. And when I wasn't working, I would wear yellow. But then it came like around 2018, I came across a lady's LinkedIn Instagram profile by the name of Ella London, and all she wears is yellow. Like, the only thing in the house that wasn't yellow was like the walls, as the agreement she made with her husband. And then I remember going into my wife that day, and I'm like, I'm not taking my love for yellow serious, because like, when I get yellow stuff, I get like extremely happy. Like, when I get my sneakers, clothes, I'll be very happy. So I'm like, why am I not doing this 24/7? And I remember telling her that day, I was like, right, that's it. I'm going all yellow, like all the time, because I need happiness. So since then, unknowns to me, I just did it for me, but it has formed such an important part of my, and I'll say of my brand and what I do, that clients love it. Like, shout out to Massey Distribution, who, like, that isn't in Jamaica, that isn't their colors, and they went and got me yellow, like a yellow bottle and a yellow cup. Like, they went and sourced that just because they knew how much I love yellow. So like, those things become so impactful. I love when people call me the yellow guy. I always say, you don't need to know my name. If you know what the yellow guy is, then you know the content that I'm creating. So that's what makes me happy. And I just glad that it's actually something I love, that is something I do naturally. I know some people pick yellow as a brand color, and it's not really the real thing. Like, you need to be authentic with what you pick, because I think that's what the audience loves and likes you for.
It is something that we need to start embracing. Being authentic in who we are and putting that as the content and the brand, not trying to mimic what we think the people want, but give them who you are.
Yeah.
Who accepts it? Those are your people that need to accept it, and who does not? That's just not your audience.
As also people, if you don't like the bear, the yellow, because I wear, you've seen it, I wear African kits when I go training. I don't wear no suit. I don't do suits. I do suits for like when I'm going to networking events. I like wearing African kits for training. If you don't like that, I personally don't care. The other thing is, because I create content, I've never met those people who don't like it, because the content kept you away. That's the other thing that I actually love. So like, I always remember this, like, I had a time I was doing a meeting with a client, and if you don't ever see any of my content, if you don't see a yellow, the top is yellow, the pants and sneakers are always yellow. The client now met me, said they didn't know that, and they were in the colors like, Jared, where's the yellow? I'm like, no, I have on yellow. It's the pants and stuff. stand up, I need to see it. And I'm doing the call like, let me see the shoes. And like, oh, check them. Oh, I was just making sure. The contract signing, we just wanted to see the yellow. So for me, it is the best thing in the world. It is an absolute blessing. And I don't think I'm obsessed about it enough. I know I'm talking long. Let me tell you my ultimate goal, right?
I was going to ask.
There's the ultimate goal. Right? You know, every time like an emergency happens in the world or something happened in the world, like all of a sudden, like when you're insane and then these other channels, it's have an expert who in it. It's mm-hmm. So, like there'll be some world emergency going on, it'll be with the color yellow. And like the person you bring is like, and coming up here, we have our specialist, Dr. Jared Best-Michel. He is a specialist in the color yellow and he's going to explain to us what's happening. And I'll be there and I'll be talking about it. And then after I talk, I'm going to watch the camera and be like, told y'all.
I love
this
it.
This is not now. This is like 2065. Like, I have patience. I don't need this now. 2065.
You're coming.
I'm going to explain what's happening in the world to y'all with yellow. You have to be serious about idleness, folks. Okay?
I don't even think it's idleness. If you understand how my mind works, I'm already picturing
I will
Jared
be there.
Coming up very serious to tell the world what is wrong with yellow.
I'll be like, so what's causing it is something related to yellow. I'll just explain to you what's going on. And afterwards, I'm pointing to the camera and tell everybody, and I told you all I was going to be here.
I see it. Don't know if I'll be, how old I'll be in 2065, but...
I will be in my 80s. That's how confident I am and patient I am about it. I've learned patience while I'm on this journey. It's not about doing it now. It's about planting the seed and you'll eventually get it.
And it segues lovely into getting to understand the other two things that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Two key things outside of being Mr. Yellow.
Yes.
You are sales.
Yes.
And you are LinkedIn.
Yes.
Yes. So we're going to get into LinkedIn first because a lot of us underestimate the power of LinkedIn, and because we underestimate it, we don't pay too much attention, get to understand how it works. We pay more attention to TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and as professionals, that's a platform that's designed specially for us.
For professionals.
Yes.
Like,
but we don't use it enough.
And this is for the Caribbean and the host. So like how you open up your podcast about talking about the region, the Caribbean region is underestimating how powerful LinkedIn is. Like, y'all are drastically underestimating how important this platform is. And to me, everybody keeps mistaking it because they think LinkedIn is a business platform. So they think suit and tie. No, if you have a business, if you're doing your career, you need to be on the platform. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you need to be on it. Because the amount of CEOs who know me just because of LinkedIn, like, it just solidifies the fact that it's an important platform. And I think no matter what, like, I wish nail technicians, hairdressers and stuff could be on it. Like, because you'll get such a wide audience and awareness of what you do, and it just opens up the doors. It doesn't matter if you're job hunting or you have a business. It is the most important platform I think you should be on right now, because as Gary Vee says, it's underpriced attention. Like, LinkedIn has over a billion users worldwide and less than 1% of them actually create content. And when I mean create content, I mean like they create content once a week. You know what insane that is? So, like, if you create it, like, think about it this way. Like, if you go to a fete and, like, you're performing on stage, everybody pays attention to you.
Yes.
Like, I keep telling people that, like, that's why I'm creating the content. It's not to get everybody's attention, but it's to make sure everybody sees. And a lot of people are not doing that opportunity. And even on the job front, like, just this week, there's a LinkedIn connection of mine is starting a brand new job this week. She used my LinkedIn optimization guide and optimized her profile. She said the day after she finished, a recruiter reached out to her. Like, we sleeping on this, folks. I have clients working in Belgium, Europe, all over the place because they did stuff on LinkedIn. Like, I really wish the Caribbean could understand it a bit more because we untapped.
Well, this is why we're having this conversation with you. True. So that they can get to understand it a whole lot more. And I love that you said nail technicians and the other tradespeople. We always think that I need to be working in a particular
job.
Industry.
I found my welder on LinkedIn.
If I'm a nail technician or I'm a makeup artist or I'm a carpenter or I'm a plumber, then I'm not a businessman. And I'm usually confused when people say that or think of themselves like that. You
Correct.
Are a business person.
You absolutely
you
are
in business. And you need to manage yourself and your presentation as, even if you're scruffy.
But I think that's LinkedIn's fault, yeah, because LinkedIn always gave the impression of it's a suit and tie platform. It never gave the impression that it's a business platform. So a lot of people still think that's its sole purpose. A lot of people still think LinkedIn is only for resumes.
And I will tell you, since meeting you mm-hmm. back in September, I started to take, I don't have the time to do special LinkedIn content.
I've seen your content. It all could work on LinkedIn.
Putting it on LinkedIn as well. And my entire LinkedIn has grown.
Yes.
My insights have grown. And I am like, wow, there's a lot of people that just, they're just looking at my profile.
Let me tell
profile.
You one insight you're not going to see. So I look at your content. When I see it, I'm like, I honestly, this is what I do. When I see people's content who I like, I go and I look for it and see if it's on LinkedIn. So you need to put all of it on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Like, especially with the conference coming up, like that should be on LinkedIn all the time.
Okay.
All the time. And it's, and by the way, you could actually find the ideal audience on LinkedIn. You can't really do that with any other platform. You could search the people by job title and reach out to them on LinkedIn. But here's the thing. Well, saying, all right, here's the thing. When you look at all that content, the people who you're not seeing on the insights is the CEOs and the decision makers, because I would guarantee you they never engage with content on LinkedIn, but they see it. So what they do is that they remember, they don't do stuff themselves. They'll give it to their assistant and say, call Natasha, I want to get tickets to this conference. So they look at it, and that's why I was stressing this. Like, I would walk into every meeting with a CEO, and he would tell me everything I've done. I have to do nothing. And it just keeps confirming, good, we're still not putting out enough content. We need to put out a couple more. So trust me, every single piece you have done should be on LinkedIn.
Okay, so I have homework. I'll go get
easy
that done.
Homework. It's
easy
just
homework
a post.
Is just a post, yes.
Because it's done already.
Yes, and I changed up the background, the cover photo.
Yes.
I changed the header, everything, like you advised. Like you advised. And I have seen a difference in the people who have been coming to my page, because mm-hmm. I also invested in the
premium.
Take
the career, not the business plan.
Not the business plan. I'm able to see who views my profile, and I have started the messaging, hey, you view
that is what we're talking about.
Yes. I started, good. Hey, you viewed my page. What did you find interesting, or what can we talk about? And it has led to some conversations. We have gotten clients who were interested in forming companies in Guyana, and they found me on LinkedIn. We got the information. We started the conversation. The office is now handling that client. So it works.
I'm not going to say duh, but I mean, like, I keep telling people, I'm never surprised. I just, again, because we underestimate it.
Yes.
So notice what I said before, like, when things happen, when I see CEOs tell me stuff and people recognize me, my only response in my mind is I'm not creating enough content, because I don't want one lead a day. I want 5 leads a day. So to me, I'm not creating enough to get out there. So that's what I tell you. To me, it's still not creative. Like, you still need to put more content out there.
I haven't started.
You have a lot that should be there. And I think everybody needs to understand that. Like, think about it. It's underpriced. It's nobody creating enough. And again, like, even if I look at Guyana's numbers in terms of how many LinkedIn accounts are there, there's still, I think it's like, it's over 100,000. I can't remember the exact number. But that's still not enough in terms of how much penetration and how much opportunity it could actually get. So people need to create their profiles. But you also need to create the content, because there's so much buzz and attention on the country right now that it's opportunity for you, because they're not seeing you there. So from the time they see you there, you become the first resource. And I think personally, because LinkedIn is, again, this is the only good effect. So even though LinkedIn is seen as a business platform and it turns away some, the fact that it's seen as a business platform, when people see you there, they trust you more than seeing you on TikTok or Instagram or any other platform.
Yes.
So that's why you want to be there first. So for me, LinkedIn first.
And I'm looking forward to that. Now, we have covered the business link, well, touched on. We didn't even scrape the surface.
We didn't scrape the surface on LinkedIn, because the major, and because this ties into everything with sales. So the major part, so like optimizing your profile on LinkedIn is like getting your CXC passes. It's the bare minimum. What the major difference is now for everybody is creating content. Nothing else matters more now than creating content. And this is not just for LinkedIn. This is for any platform. The only way to stand out now is to create content. If you're not doing that, then you're not getting to put yourself in an advantageous position compared to everybody else. Like, that's the only reason why I do it. So, like,
but sorry. I'm shy and I don't want to be in front of the camera, and people are going to look at me and say, what she know about doing content? What she know about what she's speaking about and doing the business? Now, I'll tell you, mm-hmm. saying this, because those were some of the things I said to myself.
Yes.
Those are also some of the things you hear from people when you tell them to get in front of the camera. Because even ever since I started my business, one gentleman, Rene Paris, said, Natasha, get in front of your business. show your face. Stop putting emojis and characters out there and put your face out there.
Yep.
And I was like, no, I want to stay in the background. My ideal thing for my business is to be on an island where nobody knows me. Matter of fact, it's my island. I run my business from there.
That will happen, but when it is you put any work and put your face out there now.
That's what
and
I
it will be a, and sadly to tell you to be an island where they'll still know who you are.
Yeah. Sadly, so let's it's talk what about I had the
haters. Let's talk about the haters. So my thing is, this is what I like to tell people. You don't need to be an expert to post content. What you have to remember is this. Where you are in your journey is where somebody wants to be. So your information about where you are now is going to help somebody get to where you are. That's the importance of it. You don't need to be a CEO or anybody to post. The second thing is when you hear people who saying who you think you are, you need to ignore them because those people will never buy from you. So that's not your focus anyway in the first place. I remember when and you always get people who might be thinking they're supporting you, but they're really just throwing talk. So like I always remember when I used to post on LinkedIn, it's like even 2019, right before the pandemic and everything, people used to come up and say, that LinkedIn thing does be working or what? And I'm like, yes, it does. It works extremely well. Because I know they're thinking, they're doubting. And then when most of them lost their job, hey, I need to get my LinkedIn profile optimized. Can't help you, bro. Find somebody else. And you doubted it? I'm good. So for me, you have to, like, it takes a while, but you have to learn to ignore those people because, like you and I said it before we started, like, when you're focused on something, you have to ignore what everybody else thinks. If you understand that this is going to work for you, do not listen to anybody else. Like, when I started this journey, even down to my wife didn't understand fully like what I was doing. And like, I still ignored it because I know deep down in my crazy brain, I was like, this is it and this works. It's not working yet. I know it works, right? So what you have to do is just keep focusing on that. And it's not to explain it to everybody. If you understand it, you need to work on it. So ignore everybody and create the content. In terms of people who don't want to put their face on, here's the thing, right? A lot of y'all have businesses where putting your face out there actually increases the amount of business that you have, right? So you need to actually put your face out there. You have to, and I always make this joke, right? Like, the people who are going to bad talk you are your friends, like your good friends, because your friends are bad people. You know that, right? They'll make fun, like my friends make fun of my hairline, my crooked teeth, my big head, because your friends are bad people. But your customers who want to buy from you love you. So when you don't put all the content on or give you a guilt trip, you are essentially a lifeguard at the pool. That little thing they throw to save people is your content. You're not creating content by your people drowning. But here's the other sad news. They don't technically drown. Your competitors who create crappy content because they don't care, they're just putting out something and getting your customers. So you choose. I will put out content. I don't care what. I've gotten over those things. You have to get it over too. It's just part of the journey. And by the way, let's put this one out there. John, I don't like the way my voice sounds. Here's what. You're the only person who thinks that. Trust me, I've heard every excuse. I can knock all of them out the park for six at week.
Just get the content done.
Get the content done. Put your face. And by the way, I'd be even so kind to say you don't even need to put your face out there all the time. If you're somebody who might be good at like whiteboards and you could do this stuff on the whiteboards and draw it out and explain stuff, do that as well. But at least if you do 10 pieces of content, one has to show your face.
Can't
be faceless. I don't think faceless works now. Maybe if you're probably writing a book. And even then, every author now is putting yourself out there.
So we got to get comfortable with putting ourselves in front of the camera.
Yes.
And we have to be confident. Actually, Rihanna said it best. Even if you don't feel confident, pretend, girl.
Do it scared.
Do it scared, but get the content out there. Start putting the pieces together. It is very hard work. I must say, kudos to all content creators. It is hard work. It is. For sure. And don't let perfection stop you from starting.
Yeah, it's done okay. Is better than perfect.
Done is better than perfect. And I watched a video of Vusi, and he said, did you see our YouTube videos when we first started and compare them to what we're doing right now? Yeah, you're supposed to have something to look back at and say, this is where I started and this is how I've grown.
Let me give you another perspective, because I did a video on this when I was doing a training by a client. I want you to start now because the thing is, let's just say, by the way, all my content comes from my phone. I have no equipment here. Like, most I have is a mic. So let me tell you this. When you first start out, you might just have your phone. people pay attention to the content. And then when they notice you get a mic, people be like, oh, you get a mic. Then people notice you using a tripod. So like as you grow, people are going to be invested because it's a journey you're taking them on. They're paying attention and more people are coming on. The only way to get all those people coming on is to start the journey. A lot of y'all are thinking they need a full, I need to do this in order to start, and you don't. There's some podcasts, people have their mic, AUX cable that they get, the headset that they get with their phone, and they're doing a podcast and they started like that. You want a way to have the latest equipment. No problem. You won't get the audience. People, you need to start because you need to learn everything from the ground up in order to be really good, and they can't wait for perfection. You're like that is one thing I always tell people. If it is that you're looking for perfection, I'm not that person. I literally just do things off the cuff. My content is literally just done as is. I don't want perfection. I just want it done because I think people appreciate that type of authenticity versus a finished product. But I also believe people love watching your journey as you grow. As you do stuff, they become very invested in you. And I think that's how you build a community.
I would agree. And it also encourages me to get especially my express content done. Whew.
Like before I came here, I was talking to a business owner and she, like insane at sales, right? Because she grew up, it's her business. She grew up with dad and everything. And like she's there explaining her product. And I'm talking about explaining from the sales side to dealing with the objection to who should buy it in like 30 seconds. I'm like, why is this not content? I don't have the time. It's like, no, it don't need to be perfect. You just did the content there. That would have sold it. Why you keep thinking it needs to be a fancy production? Like even a game I play with people is like, you know, sometimes you do a video and somebody say, no, I have to edit it first before I put it out. I was like, let me help you. I was like, I take your phone. Let me call the person one time, right? And I go in the phone and I start typing Steven Spielberg. I was like, you don't have his number, so let's just post the content, right? It's like, stop the crap. Like, just post it. It's good enough. It doesn't need to be perfect. It's good enough. And like, your worst content is going to get you your customers. And the best content ain't going to get you nothing. All that fancy producer stuff might not get you anything. But that shaky video where you might not have on makeup or you was looking scruffy and you say something off, somebody found that was relatable to them and they explained it better than an official video and they bought from you.
I'll tell you, when I started doing bits and pieces of the tips for business owners, mm-hmm. my most viewed videos were the ones where I was at home washing dishes or getting ready in the morning.
Being real.
Yeah, those were my most viewed videos, not the ones where I was all dressed up and so forth. Those were the ones that were shared the most, they were saved the most, and they had the most interactions. And one person even reached out and said, I love how you just made something so difficult, so easy, because I was focused on you washing the dishes and I understood exactly what you were saying. I was like, yeah, but I don't wash dishes that often.
Then you better, then here's what you need to do. This will be a funny series. Knock on people's door and ask, is your sink dirty? You have wares in your sink? Can I come wash wares and record it while I do a video? So like it's showing people how to overcome objection, and then you just go in somebody's house, propping up the... And like I have my own dishwashing soap and sponge.
That would be gloves. Hilarious.
I think that would be an excellent series to do. And you just go all over Ghana and you have to show people what you like mad and tell it, get out my yard. And then eventually somebody, I think that would be an amazing series to do. Like yeah, people love there. My content when I wash wares. I think if I wash different wares at different people's home. And I think what they should have too is that in the background should be the homeowner just watching like, who is this crazy person? Like.
Yeah, I'm getting my content up here.
I'm full of content ideas. It's just easy.
So we spoke on the business side, the content side. Now, I am in a career.
Mm-hmm.
In the Caribbean, it's underused for career purposes.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be in a particular company or particular circles to have a LinkedIn profile, at least.
No.
In
what do you mean?
That's the perception that people have. So it's not just for everybody. I do, from time to time, I teach in employability.
Right.
And in their resume building, one thing that I always start off with is writing your bio. And now that you've written your bio, create a LinkedIn. And the people who I have these classes with are people who already work. And sometimes they look at you like, LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Yes, LinkedIn. So you update your bio. you create your LinkedIn and you start managing your profile. Help me to explain to the audience why it is important from a career standpoint to have not just a LinkedIn profile, but an updated LinkedIn profile.
So here's the thing. Your LinkedIn is your digital resume. Number two, your LinkedIn is searchable. So when you send in your resume, a recruiter actually Googles you. If your LinkedIn profile not coming up, then it almost puts you in a disadvantage. If your LinkedIn profile comes up and it's not optimized and people click it, it doesn't show well, so it don't get the opportunity. But if it is that you have a managed profile, like you're keeping it up to date, like the banner is done, your headline is up to date, you have updated resume there, you posted something recently, it puts you at a better advantage than others. And I'll give everybody this tip. If you're applying for jobs, you should have your LinkedIn profile optimized, but you should create content, and I need you to create this specific type of content. Every time you apply for a job, I want you to write a post on LinkedIn that talks about what you're going to do in the first 30, 60, 90 days. Because technically, that's what they're going to ask you in the interview anyways. And since they're Googling you and they're searching you, they'll scroll through your profile and they'll see a post of you saying, if I was the quality assurance engineer at a distribution organization in Trinidad, this is what I'll do in the first 30, 60, 90 days to deliver this outcome. You're not going to write and say if I was at Nestle or anything. No. You're just talking about the
general.
You're just somewhat generalized. But again, the recruiter is going to see this and be like, why is this person talking about this? But if you talk about that, it makes sense. You're putting yourself in a higher position than people who they have to figure out. So the LinkedIn profile kind of gives you a fourth dimension that what the resume could never do. So I think you need to understand that it gives you a better foot in the door. And I think this is why I always say it works well, like even if you have a personal brand, because it's less work you have to do. It builds more credibility. When people see, oh, you have 1,000 followers, 1,500 people engaging with your content, you're putting stuff out there, like it becomes that fundamental. Like resumes aren't enough, and I think a lot less recruiters are relying on resumes and just looking at what's on your LinkedIn profile.
I have started doing that when I'm looking for staff, for either myself or for other companies. Once I receive your resume,
yep,
I am going to look for LinkedIn. I'm also going to Instagram, your Facebook. I'm going to look for
yes.
you because I want to understand who is applying for the job. In this day and age, ChatGPT and the 100 other AI things can write a perfect resume.
Oh, let me show you how to solve that. So what I want to, like the thing I told a sales HR manager recently was, and they're specific. So like I said, anytime you're hiring somebody in sales, they shouldn't be asking for a resume. First, they should be asking for a video of them explaining why they're ideal for the role, right? Because not everybody could fake, like everybody could present themselves well on a resume, but sometimes when they come to talking, they'll be horrible and everything falls apart. And like I've seen it because, again, as you spoke about it, like I see some people who write really well on LinkedIn. And if you ever see them do a video like, oh, you don't write. Gotcha. Because that talking and the writing, that's two different people. Thank you. I understand it now. And that's why you'll see them focus more on written content, because that's what they hide behind it. But it falls apart when they go and meet somebody in person.
That is what, as recruiters, we need to bridge.
I think
the
every
gap.
Role. Send a video.
Yeah.
Like, because you have to talk to me anyway. So send a video. Let me just decide if I want you in my company or not. And it will sound bad, but it will save you time, because immediately from a video, you'll see who is a fit for your organization or not, because you are looking for a culture fit, a look of a person, how they speak. So immediately you could tell, right, no thanks, not interested. You save time from having to get a resume. Send a video first. I don't want to see a resume. Like, and that's only because I have a BAS. I have no degree. I don't think degrees matter in most things.
I am so happy you raised that. Now, I have nothing against education. I love education.
Neither do I. I love it.
But as an employer, mm-hmm. now, as an employer, now,
mm-hmm.
listen, think I need to go sit in that school.
And do therapy.
Because I like the idea of hiring people who are smarter than I am.
Yes.
On paper, you appear smarter than I am. Then you come and work for me. And I'm like, aren't you supposed to be smarter than I am?
It's a problem.
Make it make sense.
So like the other day, I'll give you a dimension and this you probably didn't think of. So like the other day I posted on Threads I don't think you should do a master's. I think you should do courses that have the skills relevant to what the companies you want to be hired for or searching for. Because years ago, a guy named Larry Hercules told me this. And it just stuck with me because it made sense. Because again, school never sat well with me, but I just used to read a lot of books because that was just easier for me to absorb. Because to me, what they was teaching to me wasn't relevant. And Larry said it, and he said this over a decade ago. So imagine how much relevant this is now. He says, why do a degree when what you learn in the first year is going to be obsolete by the end of the second year? Think how much time, think about how advanced the world is now. That if you spend 18 months doing a master's, what most likely when that master's was written was outdated. And then they're going to learn it now. And then by the end of the second year, the end of the 18 months, it's still going to be outdated. So you're not putting yourself in a position versus that 18 months, you could have probably done maybe 5-6 courses that was relevant to what it is they wanted to get. So let me throw the spin in the wheel for everybody now. Women have to get masters because that's the only way they could get into the rooms where men who just have basic degrees are.
Yes.
And this was brought to my attention the other day when I was talking about the fact that I didn't have a degree, and a friend of mine said, no, it's people with masters. Women have to get masters. It's okay for men.
Actually, I disagree.
I don't mind.
Why? Because I feel sometimes as women, we depend on that too much to get us in the door. Because I am a woman, I should be. It's almost we are fighting for empowerment.
Tell me a woman mm-hmm. in a leadership role in a company that doesn't have a master's or even a degree. Let's just say a basic degree. Tell me one.
Okay, so it can be like a business owner like me.
I'm talking about in a corporate organization.
In corporate organizations, I can't say that I know.
Yeah.
I can't say
that's
that
the hard,
I know.
That's the hardship side of it. Yeah. That it sucks, but I think over time that's going to change. But I think now with how fast the world is moving, it's easier for you to go and get certified in something. It's better for you to get something certified in 3 months versus doing a master's. And I know some people will be upset if they ever see this. They're seeing it in schools now because UWE has a massive drop in enrollment, right? All the schools in Trinidad is not only because of GATE, it's because what is being taught isn't like relevant to what people need to be hired for. So, yeah.
And when I get hired, I need to go through another round of training to upskill me to be able to do the things
so
I need to
learn
do.
That skill.
Yeah. It takes a lot on the employer as well to now hire you thinking that you're coming into hell, but instead I now got to come babysit you and nurture you into who I want first. Then.
And I know people are going to say, no, Jared, some things you need to do, you need to have a degree. Yes, we understand that. So understand what you mean.
Yeah.
But we know there are lots of other things you don't.
We're not challenging
stop
whether education is important. It
stop
is
asking
important.
Asking salespeople for degrees. Can we do it here? You see them companies that ask salespeople for a degree? Fire, boom, 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 boom. It just doesn't make sense.
And
look
a lot,
at what they accomplish.
So we are going into sales now.
Yes.
Because I know, or what I have observed, especially in Guyana,
mm-hmm.
sales is more of a, and when I sell a particular product at a particular company, like a distribution company, they are going to emphasize the importance of sales training and these things. I have had in the last year and a half tried to hire salespeople for 2 or 3 different companies. And when you ask people to sell something to you, I am not even convinced. I am not convinced, and I can't, when the client says they need to make a quota of XYZ amount per month,
mm-hmm.
and you can't even, you can't even sell yourself to me, how do you meet that quota? Further to that, I don't believe the Caribbean, or Guyana especially, is a mm-hmm. place where people understand the benefits of working for commission.
Yeah, they don't. So here's the thing, and I'll be honest with you. When I used to work in corporate, I would want to make sure I have a base. But again, because I became an entrepreneur, let me tell you, nothing wakes you up out of bed more than knowing that you'll make $0 if you don't work. It is a good feeling because, like I tell people, I wake up every morning like, crap, how am I going to make money? But then I'm like, I have the skills to do it. So the reps who are focusing on a base, your company should never hire them because they're not going to sell. They want to be comfortable just earning a base and they're not going to hit target. Like I've seen so many companies with that. Like, oh, the rep's not selling. They're just doing the bare minimum. Okay, cool. The base too high. Get rid of the base.
And
But they
so
need to.
We tried to hire for my company a salesperson last quarter. So we would start the first quarter with somebody ready for sales. The persons wanted all of them in excess of 300,000 Guyana dollars. And I'm like, okay, so what are you going to do to bring in $300,000?
Not even 300,000. Oh, so you're bringing in at least 3 million Guyanese in sales. Technically, that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, because how do you want me to pay you $300,000 and you're not telling me how you're coming in to help me to double my income? The whole point of you being hired is to bring in money for me or for the company. You want to start off with $300,000 or in excess of $300,000.
So let me break your heart on this, right? So my uncle who lives in Canada, he's a head of sales for a company. We were talking about this. Salespeople today are friggin' lazy. Majority of them, and I mean well over 50% of them, don't want to do the work. They want the reward. A lot of them complain about so many things. A lot of them want base. Like, my uncle literally told the company he doesn't want to work for a base. He just want to work on commission. He's like, you make way more money than what it is. Like, when you get put on commission only, your percentage earning goes up higher versus you having a base.
You earn way more than
you
I can
earn
pay
way
you.
More. So my thing is, When you tell a rep, so like the only thing I'll say in your rep's defense is, if it is that you're telling somebody you have to sell commission only, that means you have to have a strong customer base existing for them to sell to, or you're actually going to switch it where, let's just say, all right, I needed to build a customer base. Cool. So I'm going to give you 6 months to build a customer base. So I'll give you a base salary. And at the end of the 6 months, as in 6 months, day one, you go straight to commission only because you should have spent time building the base.
Yeah.
And like, that's the only reason. But to me, once it is that the company gives you a customer base, you're supposed to have the ability to go out there and sell. If you're trying to run down a base salary, to me, that means you don't know how to sell and you don't have full confidence in your abilities to bring home the business. So that to me is it's across the board. A lot of salespeople today want the, and I understand with the economy, you have bills, churn, etc. But too many of them want the cushion of a base. And I think it's a base salary now to me is like a sinkhole into mediocrity. Like, yes, some jobs do need it, especially if your business is a long sales cycle. You need a base.
Yeah.
Correct. Right? You absolutely need a base if it's a long sales cycle. But there's some things where the turnover is fast. If the turnover is less than 30 days for a product to sell, you do not need a base salary. That's just me. Like, if I know, if the minute I meet you today on a Friday, and by the Wednesday next week you close on a deal, and that's his average sales cycle, there's no need for you to have a base salary. You should be working on commission only.
So what do I look for when I'm looking for a salesperson? What are some of the key things a business owner or somebody in, whether a startup or a growing company, should look for? What are some of those characteristics of a salesperson?
I think what you have to look for is somebody who's hungry. And I mean, when I mean hungry, instead of asking about their sales experience, ask them why they're doing this. Like, to me, like, this will sound crazy. If a sales rep is not talking to you about how much money they want to make and what they want to use it for, that's a red flag. Like, I tell people all the time, like, if you hear me say it, I'm doing this job because I like buying sneakers. I don't want to be restricted. I want to see a yellow sneaker online. Buy. I don't want to be restricted. That's what I work for, right? You can't tell me a sales job is there and the sales job isn't identifying to you, well, my goal is to build a house. Good. I could be on board. I could help you build your house through sales.
Okay.
Right? If you do have a mission in mind, I'm not interested. My uncle also told me this. I'll share this with you. You should look for athletes. Because athletes have discipline and they're goal-oriented. So if you get an athlete, you should see that a good athlete, because you know some athletes are crap. If you get a good athlete, get that person into sales. If somebody's an engineer who wants to get into sales and they have that drive, get them, because engineers understand processes. If there's a process in for the business, the engineer's going to follow it, you're going to get results in your sales, right? But for me, I have to look for like those types of characteristics to make sure that you get the right person. Like, to me, it shouldn't be necessarily, if you get past experience confirmed, like they were good in sales, etc., that still has an asterisk, because sometimes that skill isn't transferable. So you still need to see the other aspects of what they have in order to know that they'll be good at the job.
Okay, and for now, business owners.
Mm-hmm.
In the first 1 to 5 years,
mm-hmm.
you have a lot of work to do to get yourself out there, get the business started. There's so many aspects to building a business and putting systems in place.
Mm-hmm.
One of those systems is sales. But you're a one-man show in maybe the first year or two. You have to get out there. You have to get out of your own way and do sales. But we have all of the excuses in the world as to why we're not good at it. And we're going to try everything like posting on social media. We're going to create, do stills, meaning we're going to create flyers. We're going to get WhatsApp groups. We're going to do all of these things, but it's not working.
Stills are awful. A picture no longer says 1,000 words. Video does.
We have so many sound bites from this podcast.
Just saying.
But it's true because people want, they don't read. So they're not reading what you just posted. And
if you're
need
a business,
to,
sorry,
you it, need to get into sales, but you don't yes. understand the art of selling.
Outsource it. If you don't want to do it, pay the money and outsource it. Because a lot of people create businesses with the thought of if you build it, they would come. And that doesn't happen in every single scenario. And even if it does happen, it might not happen at the volume that you need it to be in order for the business to be sustainable. So if you don't want to learn to sell, you have to not earn a salary and give it to somebody else to sell for you. If that's what you don't want to do. And that's what a lot of them don't want to do. So it goes back to a lot of them not understanding that for the first year to 3 years, you don't pay yourself a salary. You need to make sure they put everything back in the business. And that can mean putting it into employee who brings in the sales. So if you don't want to do that, give the idea away to somebody else. I don't know what else to tell you.
It just some things that we gotta face.
Yeah.
We've gotta face that.
But I don't understand people say, I do like selling, I do like facing customers. But here's the thing. You had to convince yourself to create that idea. So you did sell yourself on something. You know how to sell. It's just that what's sad is that how we see sales is like how you see it from the movies. So like you see it from like Wolf of Wall Street and Boiler Room and Glengarry, Glen Ross and all those shows. And it makes it look icky and like people are like trying to scheme you. And that is not the scenario. Sales is the best profession in the world when done right. That's from John Barrows. So like when you understand how to sell, you are helping people. That's your goal. That's why I gave the analogy earlier of your lifeguard. You're helping people. But if you're not selling to them and you're thinking it's salesy, you're letting people either get a bad experience from something that's inferior or you're letting them go without it and they're suffering in pain.
So in order to do sales, of course, what you're saying is you need to understand the problems that the clients are facing and what the solution
always.
You have.
Yeah. So like yeah. the thing I tell people is like, so for example, like I was talking to somebody today and yesterday and they were like, I want to approach this company so I could come in and do stuff for them, check them. Why would they care? Like you think your product is all great and grand. Why would they care?
That's something that
if
I
you
ask in
understand.
The sales. Yeah, that's something I ask in the sales interviews. Okay, sell me this globe. You're telling me all the specs of the globe. What does that do for me? Why should I care about it?
That's what I love. So my thing is, I always tell people, so there's two things you have to understand. In sales, we have a sales process. But if you don't understand what the buying process is and the buying pain is, then you have no way to sell, right? Because you don't pay you. They pay you. So if you're not understanding what's driving or motivating them, then you're not going to be able to sell effectively. So like, let's look at it like for the car industry. Some like I still see sales jobs talking about features in a car. Like, dog, every car comes with Bluetooth. You're not understanding why somebody's buying a car. Like, some people are literally buying a car to show up other people. You're not even, like, I would just sell on that aspect alone. Like, you understand that some people buying a car because they need, like, it was so bad. Like, if they ever get kicked out of their house, they have somewhere good to live in. You're not understanding the reason of why people are doing things. You keep selling on specs and features. And again, let's go back to what we said. That's Googleable. I don't need to talk to you to learn that. I need to get something else additional as insight that will make me realize I didn't think about it that way before to sell. But all we're doing is just regurgitating stuff. And we're not selling. We're just basically being order takers. And I'll say it for several industries. The car industry and the insurance industry very soon, and I'll say in less than 2 years, they'll give you the option to buy a car without interacting with a rep, and that'll be very successful. And I'm seeing it right now in the sales industry. There's insurance industries who are doing sales with alt advisors, and it's generating significant revenue. And all I'm telling the advisors is, you will be fired because you can't sell. You're just selling features. And they don't need that because they don't have to pay you a commission. Guess who I don't have to pay a commission? The online internet where people are going in to sign up. So you choose. But that's what's going to be.
That means now I need to get out of my own way. I need to start understanding people. I need to understand what value I bring, because when I'm teaching business, mm-hmm. and people love to jump and say, I have $1 million. Where I could start? How I could get into business? Or what do you think is some business ideas for me to get into? I am not that person to tell you how to get into business. I will first ask you, what's the problem that you see and that you think you can solve?
Great. And are there enough people to make it a sustainable business? Yep.
Yeah. I need you to tell me what's the problem, because if you're just getting in there to make money, I'll tell you, I'm getting into my fifth year and I'm still trying to figure out how to make the bag. What I am doing is learning, because my business is helping other businesses. Downside to it is that I have to fail or go through failed processes to understand what works and what doesn't.
It's not
work.
A downside. Yeah, failing still gets you forward further than where you were before. But I understand what you mean. But yes. Right?
So I am understanding why, because now when I come on TikTok or LinkedIn and I say, guys, listen, don't do X, Y, Z, or if you are going to do this is pros and cons.
Yep.
It's because I had to pay a very painful price to understand that process and understand that thing before I can come and tell you.
Correct.
I am understanding the problem and possible solutions to fix it. So now I can say in my fifth and sixth years, I have spent this much time getting good in my business.
Correct.
Now, when I call my price, don't challenge it.
I sell people that.
Don't challenge it. So when you're going to think of getting into business, are you thinking on that standpoint? Are you willing to make the sacrifices to truly understand the problem that you have, you're attempting
well,
to solve
let's,
for people?
Actually, no. So let's be devil's advocate. Yes, it's okay if you want to be in business to make money. We have sneakers to buy, right? Fine. Mm-hmm. You want to be in business to make money. Cool. Can you execute the idea ethically and fairly where the consumer benefits? And you, by the way, as in you make money because you need to make money.
Yes.
Can you do that? If yes, then cool. But understand that if you're doing that, you probably have to outsource it to a bunch of people to get it up and running to where you need to. So you still have to incur a short loss before you start getting the gain. So let's look at right down the street with the Coop's Car Wash. Mm-hmm. You could literally mimic his model and do it on your own.
Easy.
Easy money. Because mm-hmm. everybody washing car, that is going to be a trend, right? Is do you have the ability to get the land? Do you have the ability to order the equipment and get it done? Or do you have to collaborate with other people? So if you can, go ahead. If mm-hmm. you think that solves a problem, you can. But if it is that you're trying to just spend money on something, it's probably not going to work out. You'll probably waste your money.
And you never want to get back into business again.
You could get back into business. To me, every failure is a lesson.
It is a lesson.
So it's up to people to learn that. But again, a lot of people go into it without understanding why people want to buy. And to me, there's so much information out there that you could look and understand it on your own. Because think about it this way. This is the advice I'll give you. If you have a business idea, go online and hashtag search for the business idea and see how many people are doing it. Then go through the comments of those people who are creating content and see what people are asking, what people are commenting on. If you can, go and visit the locations if you can to see how they're operating and doing the business. Then that will kind of give you an idea. Is this business idea that I have? Because you don't have an original idea. Sorry to break your heart. Is it something that somebody else is doing? Let me go and check it out and see. And can I sell effectively to this audience? Is there some aspect of it that I could bring that's different? Or is it that I could just, because this person has a business in Arima, I could do it in Sawan. I will be able to do it because people are also looking for it in Sawan. They don't want to go as far as Arima. That is solving a problem, right? If not, cool. You don't have a business idea. You shouldn't do it. You should save your money and pay it to somewhere else.
Well, we've got to take that. Now, I'm trying not to ask the questions that will give away your processes, right?
No, give it.
Now, what are some of the key things I need to understand when it comes to sales from a business standpoint? What are the key things that I just need to understand about sales?
Like if I have a business?
If I have a business.
Okay, so here's the first thing. If you have a business, every day you should be prospecting. So this goes to sales. So sales reps who run on commission only, technically your own business. You don't work for a company. You are your own business. So you're supposed to be prospecting every day. So in other words, you're supposed to be bringing people into your pipeline every day. Qualify people into your pipeline. If you're not doing that, your business is going to fail. That's the first things first. right? The second thing is that you have to create content. Like I write a book based on this, but you need to understand that you have to prospect every day. You have to create content to keep attracting your audience, because that's the world we live in now. And then you need to make sure and have a brand that people can identify and recognize you with, so that it makes them buy you, because people want to buy something. Like, I always give shout out to Sovereignty. That's yes. Renee. People buy her. Like, Certified Samson, Certified Scoop is making money because people like Samson. It's not necessarily like the ice cream, but they support Samson. So for me, and if you look at it, he created content, he sold them on the idea, and that's how we got the business.
Correct.
So I think a lot of people need to understand that. So if you're a business owner and you want to be successful at sales, the more customers you have asking for your service is good. Like, if it is that you are booked out months in advance, that's a good problem as a business to have. It also means you're probably not charging enough, so you should raise your prices. But overall, that's a simple philosophy I'll tell people. The more people you talk to tell about your business who are qualified to buy a product or service, is the more successful your business will be. The more you create content that speaks specifically to that audience and no one else, is the better off your business will be. Because the other problem I see business people face is that you're trying to make a content appeal to everyone, right? And like, I was doing training for a company in the financial sector, and they were targeting like high network individuals. And like, when I saw some of the content you create, I'm like, why are we talking to poor people? And it's like, no, Jared, I didn't understand. A man who have 50, you know, one day he'll make a million. I was like, people who have 50,000 don't want to see $50,000 content. They want to see the $1 million content. Can we create content for our audience? I was like, do you see Mercedes-Benz trying to appeal to Toyota Corolla customers? They don't. They're not interested in you. I was like, please create the content for who it's intended for. We don't want to go viral. I want to make sure what I appeal to, that when people come to me, they understand that I'm the best person for it.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you want to start doing. And to me, that's literally how simple sales is. You can put all the processes and everything in the back end, like you'll figure out all those things. But the more conversations you have with people and they bring them into your pipeline and they go through a smooth process to buy, you win.
See? Now, we want Jared in Guyana.
My goal will be to be in Guyana this year.
We want Jared all over the Caribbean sharing these kinds of information. How do people get in touch to book sessions, to book trainings? Or do you do virtual trainings?
I do virtual if it's necessary. So like, if the team is spread out really wide, like, because I have one that's coming up for like a regional team, so it can't be done. They're not meeting up in one place, so it has to be done virtual. Contrary to people's popular belief, virtual training is so much harder than in-person training, because people as lie, my camera not working. You're lying, your camera working. Oh gosh, fire burn all them people who bought the camera not working on a virtual call. Right, but yeah. So my thing is, virtual is a lot harder. In person gets you a lot more better experiences. So my process is a simple one. I need to meet with you first to understand if there's an actual problem. Because like, I'll tell you this. Out of all the business I did last year, when I look at the leads, it's about 50% of them didn't work out because it wasn't sales training they needed. Like, just this month, I was talking to a client and they wanted to have a discussion about sales training. And like, everything they said, I said, hey, you said customer experience 9 times and you said sales once. And even what you're describing, I don't think it's not a sales problem you're describing. No, Jared, we don't understand. And a chance spin it another way. It still sounds like a customer experience problem. No, Jared, I didn't understand. Still sounds like a customer experience problem. So that to me is why I need to have the discussion, because here's the thing. I could point you in the right direction of where you need to go. I know the region's best leadership coaches. I know the region's best customer experience people. I know the region's best digital people. Like, my pocket of knowledge of who I could refer you to is deep, and I don't do referral fees. Like, as I explained to people who I work with, please send me the fee charges. If they call you, that's what you're going to give them. Because I'm not marking up anything. I don't do that. I just want to collaborate. So for me, that's the biggest thing that I want to do. I need to have the discussion because it's important for me to understand what the exact problem is and if it's a problem that is solved using sales. If it's not solved using sales, then I direct you elsewhere. Because I would give you this. In most cases, leadership is the first thing that has to be fixed if you want sales training to be effective, because I'm not going to be there for 365 days. I'm like there for probably a week, a month, I'm really looking at any scope of things, not even for a full 24 hours. So when you look at the small scope that I am there versus how long everybody else is there, leadership needs to be on board and leading this first. Then I would still say customer service and back-end processes need to fix before you bring sales training in. So unless there's a dire case of where you're literally making $0 a month, there's still no reason for sales training. It still means leadership. It still means processes. It have other things that have to be worked out first. Mm-hmm. Because I'll give you an example. There's a client I spoke to, Jared, we have a problem with sales, etc. Blah, 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 blah. Cool, no problem. When I examined it, I was like, it's technically not sales. It's a processy system because they're not tracking the numbers. So they don't know where the revenue is being lost. So I can't train if we don't know, if we're not tracking the data to figure out where the revenue is going. Because all they're going to do is sell and it's going to fall into that same hole. So for me, when we have a discussion, we figure out what's the right step and then we go from there. So that's how I take it. So you can find me on my website, send me an email. I reach out to you within 24 hours. Please check your junk mail because a lot of you are not checking your junk mail if the email goes there. But I respond within 24 hours. And as I say, my goal is really just to help your company make as much money as possible because sales is ridiculously easy, folks.
What are some of the top five things that this journey of sales has taught you as life lessons?
It's okay to cry for joy and sadness. You need a support system. You need a mentor. You need to have a goal in mind, and then you need to multiply the goal times 10. And then you always need to be grateful. Like, I don't want to be religious, but like, I speak to God a lot just to like give gratitude in every circumstance. Like it really makes a difference. But the thing I'll tell you on the other side with the goals, I don't think a lot of us in business make our goals aggressive enough. So like when I first started business, in my first year I made 200,000. And I was like, oh cool, that's similar to what I was making in corporate, so that's cool. And then I was like, but that was real easy though. I was like, let's double it. Because it's like 250 is like, if it was easy, then I shouldn't do 250. So it's like, let's double it. So the following year, I made 273,000. And I was like, I don't mind missing that target. Because if I made 250, I'd have probably made 200,000. So you need to stretch yourself with your goals. Because I don't think you understand how good you are at it. And if you set it too low, you'll actually not even hit that target. So you should be aggressive in what you're doing. And that's why I say sales is easy. Like every target I've set for myself, I've been able to crush. Like, there are lots of goals I've failed, but there are lots of things that I've been able to take care of. So that's just my five things. Oh, and then the last one is, not everybody would believe you. Your friends aren't necessarily going to be the ones who are going to buy from you, and strangers will support you more than anything else. And find a mentor. Even if it's just somebody who you could talk to, even if it's a virtual mentor, like I think the day I meet Gary Vee, I'll cry. I think the day I meet John Barrows, I'll cry. I met Victor Antonio. I met a bunch of like key sales trainers in the event, and I'm not lying. I was like, my wife got irritated that day because I was just messaging her like a crazy person. Because one of the authors knew who I was. Like, because I read his book and I did a video review, and he's like, can you also write it on Amazon? And then he was following me after that on Instagram, which I didn't know. And that was the same year I did my sales conference down here. So when I went up to their sales conference, which was before mine, I'm going up to his table to get other books. And he's like, oh, you're Jared, you're the guy who's doing the conference. It's like, dog, don't do what I don't. Don't do what I don't. It's like, ooh. And I was like, that there is like one of the best things. So for me, that would just be my advice. It's ridiculously easy. But the work to make it easy is hard.
That's the question I'm going to ask next. How important is reading and just educating yourself?
Educating yourself is important. So, and I would say this, I have sucked this year at reading. It's been the absolute worst. I'm going to fix it. But on average, I used to be reading like between anywhere from 25 to 35 books a year. That was just my goal because I just used to absorb. I just think I'm not finding interesting stuff to read, but I'm also distracted. But you have to educate yourself. Like you have to constantly. And by the way, learn stuff that you disagree with just so you can understand a perspective where somebody's coming from. Because I think it's important for you to understand both sides and not be one-sided in what you think about something. So educate yourself in everything because it gives you a good perspective. And I think it has given me an advantage because of how much I absorb. So I listen to podcasts. I read, I not just books, I read stuff online, I listen to things, I go to listen to hear other people's perspectives. So to me, that day is like a critical part of my learning. It really helps. And I think because there's so much stuff available free online, you don't necessarily need to pay for it. Like anybody who's in business and you're still listening to the radio, you're stupid. No offense. Like you should, I immediately just put my phone on a podcast, a video podcast. I'm just watching something to learn something new, just to hear a perspective or listen to what's going on. And then last but not least, I never say you're not tech savvy, because I also tell people if you're not tech savvy, oh, you'll get left behind. Now I tell people you're going to die. Like tech is undefeated. What's happening in the world right now? We think, oh, we're going to be untouched because we're in the Caribbean. You're wrong. You will be destroyed. It will come for us even faster than what it did before. And you need to learn AI. You need to learn all the technology tools. And it's free online. A lot of the basics are free to you to have that understanding. And you can take it and apply it to every aspect of your job.
And LinkedIn has a lot of courses as well.
LinkedIn has a lot of courses.
Yeah.
But again, I'm like, I was doing some training the other day. And I was explaining some stuff to the sales reps. And I'm like, sorry for my language. I was just like, you don't know that. I'm like, and I remember calling my business partner. I was like, dog. And I explained to him, I was like, how people don't know, like, how people, like, so you just, you're in a bubble from 1990. You just haven't, like, that's what you learned. And you stopped after that. I was like, that's insane. I was like, no way.
So people, I think a lot of people are allowing their smartphones to be smarter than them. They're on it all the time, but they're not learning.
No, they're not. They're just doom scrolling.
They're just, yes. So we had an incident in Guyana where this young lady did her, you could see clearly, if you're a foodie,
yeah,
you can understand what she was attempting to create. But she also put a few disclaimers in her video, like she just came back from traveling, so it's, you know, minimalist ingredients. Like, she went shopping. She doesn't have everything, but she's using what she has to create this version of what I understood to be chicken shawarma.
Right.
So there was coconut, there was yogurt and coconut milk, there was yogurt and these things. And people were like, oh, that's not curry, that's not this, that's not that. And I'm like, okay. You looked at the recipe and you didn't, it's not, she also said it was not traditional Guyanese
curry. It's a different version.
It's a different version. She said that. Instead of going to your phone to Google types of curry or types of curry recipes or understand what she was doing, you could see if you cook, if you understand different recipes, you can understand that, yeah, a couple of things she did specifically to her. But then there are some key things that matches a particular recipe. Now, curry is not a Guyanese and a Trini thing. It comes from India. It's not we alone know about curry. They got Thailand, Japanese. It's a global thing.
All right, so pause.
What?
I'm sorry.
We're going to fight on the podcast.
No. Curry is a Trinidadian and Guyanese thing. That's us. Jamaicans fight, don't care to do some good curry. I don't care what other country in the world has it. It's ours. We own it, okay? We have the rights.
We take it.
On a side note, we have it.
But it didn't originate here, sir.
Listen, it didn't originate. We perfected it. It's not yours anymore. We perfected. Have a good day. I don't care what other country where it originate from. It's not as good as ours. Like, end of discussion. I'm not arguing that.
This is a typical Guyana Trinidad that conversation.
We have done it the best. We saw it and you didn't understand what it was. India, we did it better. Okay? Pass.
I'm not doubting you on that at all. But what she was doing was one of their versions.
Right.
Now, she got bashed. Now, if from a content standpoint, she was promoting this meat center.
Right.
I would have paid her more because even though it was controversial content, and it's sure people went and buy meats, right? It was superb.
But we love to be keyboard warriors.
Right?
That's the problem with us. But then when we're keyboard warriors, we stop thinking. So everybody just like I see real estate people go through this a lot. They post a home and people's like, oh my God, that's too much money for that. And I personally want to comment and say, thanks for telling us you're broke. Because that's what you're telling us. You also don't have an understanding of what the market is. Yep. And you've also never gone to the bank and you've never gone to an architect to get a house drawn and then to go to a construction company to find out the cost of building the house. And therefore, that's why you think it's expensive. So you rather say it's expensive versus finding out the steps to confirm what's the average price to build a home. So to me, The sad thing about it is we have to, people are keyboard warriors, but I ignore people.
Yeah, and they use their phone just to demonstrate how much they do not know. Because when I saw everything taking off on Facebook and TikTok and stuff, I was like, you know, all y'all saying is that y'all do not understand the context and cultures of food.
I love what you mentioned that, because that's my next problem with salespeople and people in general. We don't understand context. So in other words, like, I would do training, I'll tell somebody, well, this is how you have to do it, and you have to modify it. They do not know how to modify to make it specific to their situation. Like, mm-hmm. people just watch me in shock, like, when I tell them, I'd watch a video on real estate, but I use context to create a video for insurance. And people are like, how? I'm like, but it's context. Like, you just have to tweak a couple of things, but people literally don't. They copy and paste. So that's the problem with, like, ChatGPT and things. Like, people take it, and whatever's typed in there, Bible. That's it. I copy and paste.
And they use it.
And they have no idea how to create context. That's what you're going to see from a majority of people.
Yeah.
So it's going to make a lot of people dumber, and it's going to make them embarrassed, because people be like, you didn't write, as you said earlier, you didn't write, you can't say this because you don't know how to say this on your own without being prompted.
Yes.
And that to me is the problem. Like, we don't have the ability to create context anymore. That's what I think is being lost.
And also what we have gotten very accustomed to, or we're making normal, is real. Social media mm-hmm. is supposed to allow you to bring your individuality to it, but everybody else is expecting them to come from you. I am not you. I can't do what you want me to do. I am probably, you're not even my target audience, but you're commenting on my stuff.
Listen, you know, I saw it, and I think that's why I stopped posting as much. Like, I stopped posting as much on TikTok, because sometimes when people comment, I just be like,
yeah,
and it's like, nope. I was like, it's not worth it, because I'm not feeling to respond to those things. I don't even feel like, I don't want to delete it either. I just like, I'm done.
One of the things I've done is to take off the comments when I post certain content, because really and truly, if you want to have a conversation about the content, get into my inbox. It's not a comment war. I am not commenting with anybody. I will delete your comment. And that's why sometimes I look at content and I'm like, why are you typing back and forth with this person? If I don't like your comments, I will delete it. Case closed. I will delete it. I put a lot of privacy stuff on my videos because I already have insecurities about posting content, and I'm not trying to battle with anybody because I'm posting my content.
Correct. Keyword. And they're doing it right where people could reach out to you. But I don't know. I just think people, like, yeah. I remember a friend of mine posted a video. She was talking about how people not using LinkedIn, and she said, you need to reach out to Jared. Jared is the LinkedIn boss. And then, funny enough, DM, this is on TikTok, a DM somebody had was, how do you sign up for LinkedIn? And I'm like, how did you sign up for TikTok? And I just left it at that. I'm like, no, I can't.
Yes.
So, like, it just, I don't know.
In a world where we think that we're supposed to be smarter because we have so much more information accessible to us.
It will get worse, because remember, it's taken away your ability to have to think. So nobody's spending time thinking. What they're spending time is just typing. And that doesn't involve much thinking, because thinking is really where you exert the energy. They're taking away the aspect of thinking, so it's going to get worse.
But then that just shows too that they don't understand how to use it. Like, I argue with ChatGPT. Like, ChatGPT and I fight.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't disagree with this. I don't think this.
Yes,
even give me a suggestion. Yes. I was like, so this is what I think it should be done, and this, I wanted to follow this format. But again,
but you have to have information to be able to argue with AI. You have to also understand what you want out of this thing. You're not typing in, write me a business plan to submit to the bank for a loan of $500,000. That I get. Like, I would see things come across and I'm like, that was just ChatGPT. Like, you ain't do nothing more than type in the prompt.
So the thing is,
copy and paste.
It will be bad over the next 12 to 18 months, where you'll see it, and a lot of people will lose their credibility because they don't have that skill set. And that's why I said, it will impact a lot of salespeople. Because, especially for the salespeople who do B2B sales, it will impact you. Because when you have to do that writing and stuff, and if you're being email-centric, it have AI that could run through that entire process. They don't need you. So, and it's a lot cheaper to pay AI than to pay you. So guess what? You'll be out of a job.
AI are going to hit the
So
targets.
That's what I'm saying. The reps who don't, so like if you don't have a personal brand, if you don't know how to create content, if you don't know how to sell, you'll be out of a job. If you don't know, and if you don't know how to create context, you'll be out of a job. If you're not using technology, you'll be out of a job. So everybody that's doing all these things now, like being on TikTok doesn't mean anything. It probably deleting your brain cells if you're not using it the right way. So a lot of people now are going to run into problems, and yeah, I feel sad, but I'm just here to sell.
I'm happy for me. And that's just, I would say, because it tells me who just not to deal with.
Yeah, because I was not going to, so here's where I'm at right now, and especially as I'm in my fifth year, I have a zero tolerance. So for me, I can't understand anybody who is resistant to using something, and I have no tolerance to anybody who doesn't want help. Like, I have no interest. Like, I sell companies, fire them. And in Trinidad, it's difficult too because of industrial code. But my thing is, fire them. It makes no sense keeping them. Like, I have no interest in helping motivate somebody in sales. You're supposed to be motivated if you're selling. Naturally motivated. There's no reason for me to be a motivator for you. If it is that you're not driven and you're dragging your foot, you should be fired. And if it is that you don't want to make an attempt and you're not trying to keep up to date, you should be fired. And so even though we talk about sales, let me tell you my pet peeve. A lot of salespeople out there aren't investing in themselves. You're waiting for your company to invest in you, and that's not your company's responsibility. Being totally honest.
And not just in sales, in the job world overall. It is your job, like, to invest in yourself. It is your job. What encourages me as an employer is when I see you are hungry, I will feed you. But if you wait in there with a plate and a knife and fork propped up like this for me to come and
they
serve
wait
you,
for their company.
I am not, that does not motivate me to do anything. I want to see you trying to figure out how to make a meal,
correct,
not sit there and wait on me to come and make a meal and serve you. You might potentially want me to clean up after you. And then that defeats the purpose of you being hired. And it's not only for sales, it is any role.
So here's the problem I hear when I talk to a lot of sales managers and owners of companies, and they feel frustrated. They always say the same thing. Jared's like, you have to spoon feed them. I was like, yep, because you created that culture, and that's the culture that exists in a lot of sales. So like same thing my uncle from Canada is like, everybody wants to be spoon fed. They don't want to prospect, they don't want to do the presentation, they don't do anything, they just want to collect the sale. I was like, no. You know, you don't want to go through the process. We just want to be spoon-fed. So for me, like, and by the way, long ago, I could have understand reps taking that stance of the company should be providing, because back then things were in a lot less accessible, mm-hmm, and a little more expensive. There's so much free education online for you to do stuff on your own without a company having to do it for you. There's no excuse from anybody to say, I don't do it or waiting on my company. There's none. Like, I think it's the biggest mistake to be waiting.
So some of the courses that we're going to be offering, it's going to be to the individual,
yes,
not the companies. If you're interested in upskilling yourself, if you're interested in doing better as a business owner, you're
correct,
interested in being better in whichever department of your job, not only sales, invest in yourself. I am not targeting the companies because, as a business owner, I want to see an incentive to invest in you. If you're investing in yourself first, I will be encouraged to say, hey, Natasha came and she did the training and these are the results. Let's send the whole department.
Now, some companies do it, yeah. So like I know Ansa Macau does it where I think given the tenure of the employee, they pay for their, I don't think it's the degree, I think it's the master's.
They pay for something, which
is excellent.
They do.
Because again, and they do it for a great strategy, which is that's to keep you in the company so we can benefit more, which,
yes,
is great. It's a great trade-off. But in other cases, you shouldn't still wait on that. You should be doing stuff on your own. Like, as my boy Karen Rose, he had always said it to me years ago. Like, I remember I called him for something. He just said it funny. Did he Google it? I'm like, that's a good point, my friend. Goodbye. Click. And I tell people that now, but it's like, there's so much information.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do think, like, I'll tell you this story. I had a time where I wanted to change the cabin filter on my car. I watched 37 videos. It was the 37th video, was the right video. Like, what explained the exact way? Because nobody spoke about the fact that you have to twist it because you know how it's laid out. You have to, and like, you don't understand. Like, you didn't have that amount of information long ago. Like, there's no reason for anybody now to say, I don't know something. And the car come to me and say, don't know it. My question to you is, did you Google it? Did you watch a YouTube video? Come back to me after that. show me proof that you have looked for it and couldn't find it, and then I'll still go and help you look for it properly, and then we're gonna, and then I'll come and help you. Like, it's too easy now.
You have to try.
That's what, so it's you too easy.
Yeah, you have
so
to try.
That's why I get frustrated with people who don't want to make the attempt. Like, I have no interest in helping those persons. If you're lazy, you do you. I have no interest. If you want to make the attempt, I'm here to support.
Yep. And that's all that I am. I'm a support. I don't move mountains. That's not my job.
Like, there was once a time I was doing training in the car industry. There was a rep who just, like, forcing them to do stuff. There's the first coaching session after the training. So I just said, I could use that as a testing ground. I told management, if somebody doesn't want help, I'm not going to stick up under them. I'm going for the ones who want to have the conversation to help. Force this individual to do a video. Now, the video I asked him to do was on one of the more high-end cars. So the commission was way higher than standard. Did a 15-second video. In 5-10 minutes, somebody messaged and said, send me a quote. The person came the week after and paid. Right? So when I came back the next week, it's like, you doing any more videos? No. Okay. I don't know what to tell you. Like, you just got 20 grand. You don't want to repeat the process. All right, no problem. I can't help you after I've brought you to the water.
It's not up to you to drink.
I took the water and put it in your mouth. You don't want to go back. I good. So for me, I think that's why, like, when a lot of people might hear me talk or give them advice, and they tell me stuff on any kind of challenges, is weak challenges, is excuses they're making, and it frustrates me because it's easy to get it done. And when you see the reps who are making it happen, you can see that they're just ignoring the excuses and they're just figuring out a way to make it happen. So anybody who's suffering, like, I'll say this boldly, in 95% of the cases, anybody who's in sales and not being good at sales is because they're not putting in the effort. It's not necessarily the company. It's 100% that they're not putting in the effort.
And we've got to get there because we have so many things that just need to get done. And the people who don't want to do it, AI is either going to come take your job or somebody else is going to come replace you. But I think from a business standpoint, from an employer standpoint, we just need to get serious on having those conversations and having the right people in our teams, because the longer we keep the persons who are not helping us, the deeper we're digging a hole for ourselves.
Exactly. And that's the other challenge. So I think I was mentioning it to my friend before. It's like that. So, like, when you keep mediocrity in your company, mediocrity is a sinkhole to a decrease in your sales. People think mediocrity is a plateau. No, it's a decline. It's a sinkhole. Like, you accepting mediocrity is creating one of the worst cultures in a sales cultures in a company. Because what you're telling people is you don't need to sell. You could line with your base salary. That's insane to me, because technically the company's just losing money. So it has to be where the person is selling. So, like, as the individual who you interviewed said, if you call a salary, you better have a plan to deliver 10 times the amount.
Yeah. Yeah. You better be able to come in and I don't even care about sales. Whichever position you come into the job for, you want a particular salary. I'll pay you whatever you want. Can you help me make it? Can you make it? Or what do you bring to the table to help achieve that?
Nothing.
Then guess what? We're going to have a problem. We're going to have a problem because at the end of the day, what some, especially in startup companies, what employees don't understand is that you get paid. I don't.
And what some people don't understand is if you do a good effort, especially if it's a startup, you might eventually have an opportunity to be a part owner of the business. Like, you get a percentage.
You could.
But
you could. So a lot
go
of,
back to saying, shout out to all the great sales reps out there.
Yes.
Because they are making it sound bad. There are lots of great ones, but the bad ones is the ones who are messing up a couple of things, because they're making people think sales is slimy, making people think salespeople aren't good. And some of you all need to resign and leave your job and go and work a desk job. Go and do a government job.
We always make the government job sound like that. But okay, it's a Caribbean thing. It's definitely a Caribbean thing. Jared, we could talk forever. We should come on and do another podcast. We do look forward to having you in Guyana this year. So many things planned. Yes,
this year I'll be in Guyana.
We have a lot of things planned. We are going to be introducing more of the tools that you need to up your game. Invest in yourself. So yes, you know, it's not free. You have to pay. Invest in yourself first. Let's get cracking because the world is growing. Guyana is in a place where it's growing.
Yes.
We need to be able to compete in our homeland. We need to be able as well to expand to the regions, to do things. We have businesses from Trinidad that will be coming in. Businesses from all over the world is going to be coming in. We need to learn at record speed right now to be able to keep up with everything that's happening. Jared, a wonderful conversation. So
as always, thank you.
Many pieces of it. Listen to me, especially the book.
I hope he caught all of that soon.
I know he caught all of it. It was fun. We're going to be releasing this soon. And I can't wait to have you back to have more conversations.
No, my pleasure.
And to have so many trainings with you. I will post the content sometime. Yes, it's excuses.
Yeah, have it
I
there.
Will be. I am posting the content. I just need to transfer to the platforms. LinkedIn is definitely where it is. So guys, let's stop sleeping on the platform. Let's also stop sleeping on ourselves and our businesses and just get up and get it done. As Nike said, just do it. Just do it.
Done is better than perfect.
Done is better than perfect. It was a pleasure bringing you another episode of The Catalyst Effect. I'm your host, Natasha Waddle, and our conversation with Jared Best Mitchell has been a ray of sunshine. He is Mr. Yellow, right? Thank you to the sponsors who made this possible. Affordable Imports, Rehab Center, Alpha Media Creations, and Express Business Solutions. We look forward to having you share this, subscribe to our pages, and just share the word because somebody needs to hear this. And if you're in sales, then sell this for us. Easy.
Nice. Out.